Coin Talk. Here comes the Thriller Coin Talk.
Welcome to Thriller Coin Talk with Car Gonzalez, broadcasting from Austin, Texas, via SoundCloud and supported by listeners like you.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of Thriller Coin Talk. Today, I'm feeling good. It's Friday. Have nothing to complain about. Crypto is looking amazing. It seems that if you didn't buy during the dip, you're probably kicking yourself because everything's almost back to normal, which is awesome. I love that. That's why, guys, we had those dark weeks. But, you know, we made the best of it, and I tried to get you guys through it, and now we come out the other side. So I think it's safe to say, even if Monday, we come back Monday, and it's a little bit red, I think we'll be fine. I think the dark days, the dark dip days are behind us. I think so. If they're not, it's an even more opportunity to buy more on the downturn. So, yeah, guys, I was talking to Joe here on the Telegram, and we were talking about XLM and BTC and, you know, the coins that we love talking about, XRP. And we were talking about how high XLM can go. You know, I really love Stellar as a company. I love what they stand for, the fact that they're a nonprofit. I love all of that. And the coin is secondary, but I honestly think that coin has huge potential to become a worldwide currency. I mean, these all do have potential to become a worldwide currency, but I think XLM has potential to not only become a worldwide currency, but actually become a used worldwide currency among everybody. So I think XLM can do that. I know there's a lot of people wanting XLM to become the big coin to show up on a lot of different places, but I think XLM, to me, the way it comes off to me, and I could be wrong, but to me it seems more like a country building kind of coin, meaning that, you know, they have people, you know, they have Africa that they're really targeting to use XLM, and they have some other countries that they're really targeting. And I think in those countries, XLM will work. And I also think here in America, XLM will work. And I think once Stripe, because we all know Stripe is a big investor in Ripple, or not Ripple, I'm sorry, in Stellar. And I think once they adopt XLM as a payment on their service, it could change everything. I don't think you guys realize, but a lot of small businesses and a lot of technology companies use Stripe as a payment processor. And if they can build out their API to support XLM as a payment, that could be huge. That could be huge, really big, honestly. So just wanted to let you guys know about that. And then we were also talking about, which was pretty interesting, and I love speculating. You guys know that I love speculating. And I've actually had this belief for a while now. I think if you go back and listen to the Snapchat episode, I think it was like episode 7 or something. But I don't know, some weird reason, I'm real bullish on Snapchat. And I know no one, everybody knows that Instagram is kicking Snapchat's ass this day or these days. And but I just something about that app is very sticky. It keeps you inside of it. If you guys haven't used it, Snapchat is a very useful app. I know it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of dumb. You have these little faces and stuff, but it's actually addicting. You know, a lot of women in their 20s use it. You know, even parents use it these days with their kids, and kids use it, of course. And me, I just recently got on it last year, and I started using it more and more heavily. Thrill Podcast is on there. So like, that's why I'm saying, like, I think Snapchat, like, honestly has potential to make a big move. And everybody knows that Facebook is going to look into crypto this year, or look into blockchain technology, as they're calling it. But I don't know. Something just tells me that Snapchat is going to beat them to the punch. I just have a feeling. They just seem like the company willing to swing for the fences. And it wouldn't surprise me, because last year, guys, I'm just going to say, it wouldn't surprise me if Snapchat integrated some kind of cryptocurrency on there, or if they made their own cryptocurrency or something like that. It wouldn't surprise me. But last year, there was no one was talking about Square. Like, Square was, you know, the Cash App. Square was, you know, a payment processor. It was, you know, it was a big technology company, but no one was really talking about it with the words of crypto. At the time, I thought it would be cool, but if you would have told me Square was going to add Bitcoin or Ethereum, I would have never believed you. I just would have not believed it. I'd be like, there's no way. I would have been like, there's absolutely no way. I would love them to, but I don't think there's no way. And right now, when I look at the way the state of the technology is, Telegram's coming, right? Coming very soon. You know, Telegram's coming here pretty soon. When actual regular people will have a chance to grab the ICO is, you know, it's just going to, we're going to have to see how it plays out with Congress and all that stuff. But I mean, when it comes to actually purchasing Telegram ICO, I'm assuming as long as we're not in the United States, we can buy it, you know, or there's some other, you know, payment gateway they're going to go through, their own website, or however they're going to do it. Who knows? But I have a feeling that once Telegram rolls out their ICO, the sooner the better. But I will say that other technology companies are looking at that right now, and they have to know, because if I know, they have to know that, you know, Telegram is going to make, you know, $6+ billion on their ICO, like easily $6+ billion just automatically integrated into your platform. That's a game changer. So for somebody like Snapchat looking for a way to, you know, boost its stock, because I think they were, last time I checked, they were trading at $14. I could be wrong. I don't know what it is now. But I will say, like, for them to boost their stock, all they would have to do is integrate some kind of cryptocurrency, or, you know, better yet, create their own crypto and put it on there. I'm just saying. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not saying they're going to do it, but it wouldn't surprise me in the least if Snapchat came out with their own cryptocurrency, or if they had some type of ICO themselves, or who knows? Who knows what they would do? But it would not surprise me in the least bit. I'm just saying. And it would be interesting to see a company do that, because honestly, everything's moving that way. And I think if some of these big brands, like the Messenger apps specifically, if they don't get on board with digital money, I'm sorry, man. Like, you're gonna miss out on a whole boat, because there's a lot of Steam, there's a lot of other you know technologies out there that are trying to go for their lunch. So I don't know, just something I was thinking about when me and Joe were talking about it in the Telegram. But yeah, if you guys haven't joined the Telegram, I would definitely join. We have some interesting discussions on there. Ranging from, you know, Matthew's always providing up to the minute stock updates on there. We're always talking about different coins, different news. Everybody provides their take. It's a great community. Like, everybody's awesome, and you guys should definitely check it out. It's in the show notes. Click on that link. It's going to take you right to the Telegram app. It's going to ask you to download it, and then you just join. Everybody's pretty nice. Don't be afraid to talk. Everybody's nice. So It's a happy community. What else do we need to get to? I think that's it. I think that's pretty much it. Yeah. So let's go ahead and jump into Telegram coin requests. TCR, baby.
We have a Telegram. We have a Telegram. Coin request.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, today's Telegram request is brought to you by Joe from the Telegram. Yeah, Joe brought in this coin. It's called Blue Zelle. I haven't taken a look at it yet, so I haven't cheated. So don't think I did, because I didn't cheat. This is my first time ever looking at this coin. So let's take a look. We got Blue Zelle, BLZ for short. Looks like it has a total supply of 500 million. Okay, got a circulating supply of 165 million. We got a market cap of 120 million. Okay, looking good so far. Looking good. I'll take that. Then we got here, looks like it was just created here. Wow, really? February 6th? 40, February 6th, the first date, at 42 cents. Wow, it really hasn't been around that long. Literally a few days. Okay. We're riding with it. All right, let's see. Oh, okay, it's on Binance. Cool. Let's take a look at their social graph. Looks like they have... Hey, we just launched Blue Zelle merch. Okay, cool. I like it. Let's check out their Reddit page. Let's see if they have a community over there. See what kind of Reddit page they have. Okay, they have 1,400 readers. That's good. They don't talk about anything about their coin. I don't like that because, come on, guys. If you're creating a coin, you need to make sure to put your description of your coin right there on the side. What do I keep saying? Come on. Make it easy for Carr. Come on. Oh, they have a video. All right. Well, let's play the video.
By 2020, there will be over 20 billion devices sending data to each other. But how will so much information be stored securely with high performance and low cost? Enter Blue Zelle, a decentralized database service that is massively scalable, secure, and affordable. Blue Zelle is based on advanced blockchain technology, distributing data across the network to eliminate cyber attacks, guarantee privacy, and scale on demand. Blockchain is the new internet. Blue Zelle combines blockchain swarms together to create a decentralized network of on-demand databases. This innovation, known as swarm computing, ensures high performance, reliability, and scalability. As a producer, you join Blue Zelle and rent out your computer hardware as database storage. You are paid for hosting data on all the swarms you are a part of. As a consumer, you join Blue Zelle to privately store your application data in our swarms. You only pay when you access the Blue Zelle network. You can even be both a producer and a consumer, accessing and earning from the Blue Zelle network, creating a vibrant ecosystem. Without Blue Zelle, data is stored in the cloud on servers all owned by one company. With Blue Zelle, data is stored across swarms of millions of computers. No one owns the entire system. Imagine, no downtime, no central point of failure. Swarms of millions of computers, all racing to serve your data. The best of blockchain and the next generation power of swarm computing. Blue Zelle is the database for the future of the internet.
Well, that was a well put together video. I like that. The only thing that scares me though is Golem is going down that same path. So that's another one. It's another coin. So they're interesting. It seems almost a lot of people are getting into that kind of space. Let's take a look at their white paper. So let's see here. White paper. Let's go through all the technical stuff. Blockchain technologies are propelling the next generation of internet. Protocols like Ethereum are a platform for launching decentralized applications that will change the products and services are consumed. Yes, we know that. The problem is blockchains like Ethereum are not designed for data storage and management. Doing so would take up too much space and take too much time. The solution, Blue Zelle. Just like decentralized services like Filecoin and storage, we are needed for file storage and management. There's a need for data storage and management. Blue Zelle is a decentralized, on-demand, scalable database service for dApps. Blue Zelle fills a need and is complementary to the other components to make decentralized internet complete. Ecosystem components, applications. Let's see here. Operating system, file storage, data storage and management. Blue Zelle is the right fit because it provides enterprise-grade database services at a price for decentralized developers. History of Blue Zelle. They started in 2014. Looks like they got directly connected to a Canadian banking debit network. They set up in Singapore. That scares me right off the bat. Everybody knows that there's a lot of shady crypto coming from Singapore. I'm just saying. I'm not throwing Blue Zelle underneath the bus, but I'm just saying. If it was set up in Singapore, I'm just saying. So in March, they... because I like to look out for you guys. That's why I'm telling you this stuff. So when I saw Singapore right there, that was an immediate red flag. Builds Ripple Place cross-border payments. Okay, builds Ethereum-based KYC. But they're... name technology, but they're funding all... they're using everybody else's coin. Builds Ethereum-based consumer mobile insurance application for the global insurer, AIA. Those aren't your own history, Blue Zelle. Come on. probably the same team that had those things, but not you. Current state of database services, we know where that stands. Past single. Okay, I think I'm ready to look at this. I'm sorry. I don't need to look any further. So, honestly, this looks like they're jumping into the same space that a lot of people are jumping into. Golem's doing something very similar. Not entirely similar, but very similar. Another thing I don't like is that they're taking credit for their team working on other people's blockchain, and they're trying to use that as where they came from. Don't like that. I think they have a solid website. I think the website looks very catchy. I think also the technology, swarm technology that they're saying that they're gonna you know, use to eliminate any single point of failure makes sense. My problem that I have with this whole type of storage case thing, where people are saying we want decentralized storage, I get it. I really do. I think eventually everything's gonna lead that way. I just think right now it's way too fucking early to see how that's gonna go. All it takes is for somebody like Amazon to come out and say we're gonna start investing into, you know, blockchain and decentralizing our AWS servers. Like, that's all it takes, and then all these coins like Blue Zelle and Golem are gonna go away. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just, that's a scary thing when you have a big beast like that. I'm not saying that's gonna keep me from investing in it, but that would be something that would concern me. Do you know what I mean? So that's the only thing with these type of coins. Whenever I see these type of like sharing economy type of storage apps or anything like that, those always just scare me, because that's the first thing I think about. The exact first thing I think about. Now, let's take a look at even their team. It looks fine. Like, everything looks legit. Everything looks legit. It looks legit. I can't get behind a coin like this. I just don't see the need for it. I'm sorry. I just don't. I'm sorry, Joe. I don't. Plus, it's only a few days old. They're probably charting when it got on Binance, but it's still too early days. If anything, right now, if it came out of the gate at 42, usually what coins like that typically do, they pump to, you know, double the amount. And it's currently right now at 73. So that means it's doubled right now at 73. So usually what happens after it doubles is it crashes down to about, you know, to what it was, half of what it originally came out as. So it's probably going to dump down to like 20 cents. And that's how these typically go when they come out. And then from there, it jumps back up and it makes its way up. But yeah, I would stay away from Blue Zelle, just because there's a lot of people in this space. There's just, the coin is too high right now for being a few days old. It doesn't make any sense to throw your money into it right now at 73 cents. There's a lot other coins, you know, like XLM here that you could buy, and you could invest in that and get to a dollar here, and that would be a safe, proven, you know, coin. You know what I mean? Or a proven company at that. So that's why I can't say invest in Blue Zelle. There's just a lot of safer bets out there than Blue Zelle. That's something to take away from the coin or what they're going to accomplish. I'm sure they're going to do great things as long as they stick to, you know, what they're building out. But I still think it's kind of early days for storage stuff. Because right now, even at work, like when we do any type of like storage services, we're always using AWS or Azure. Like, companies aren't willing to go to decentralized storage places just yet. So I don't know where they're going to get these from. Maybe these dApps want them? I don't know. But it's a pass. Let's get into coin talk.
It is time. Everything you have been waiting for. Coin talk.
All right, it is time for coin talk. I love it. Coin talk is amazing, and I still think that we got some room to grow here. But before we jump into it, I do want to mention our Patreon. So, as you guys know, I usually don't bring up Patreon too often. I may bring it up in passing where I'll say, oh yeah, we have a Patreon, but I don't really push it down the agenda or anything like that. Just because, honestly, like, I really do this podcast because I want to get the word out there for crypto. But I do want to say, if you guys want to support the show, head over to our Patreon. It's I'm actually trying to throw more content on there, actually. I haven't been able to release a Thriller podcast mini on there, but I released one yesterday. Probably going to release one tonight again, just to provide more content. We're doing a YouTube, a Google Hangout next Saturday. So we're going to have that going on. And I'm going to try to keep, you know, building out some more different things that I can do on Patreon here in the coming weeks. You know, I feel like I could always be doing more. I don't know. It's a weird thing. I'm just constantly thinking of like all these different ways I could, you know, provide more value for you guys or provide, you know, more incentives to listen or to share the podcast. And, you know, one of the ways that I've come up with is just, you know, being myself and talking about coin. Like, that's obviously one way to do it. But as more and more I interact with you guys, like through everything, through like Twitter, Snapchat, and our Patreon and through Telegram, I realize you guys are genuinely really good people. Like, honestly, there's a lot of good people in crypto. So I'm going to try to bring some more incentives for you guys. And so what I've been doing this week is, this is the second week actually, started last week, but I've been trying to post to Snapchat, try to provide, you know, good, you know, tips on Snapchat, try to provide good tips on Instagram, and, you know, try to provide some insight on Twitter, and just try to hit all the social media platforms. So that way, you know, a lot of people, if they might not listen to the episode, they still get a snippet of some type of, you know, crypto knowledge that they could use, you know, if they follow. So yeah, I'm just trying to do all of that at the same time. And we're doing Instagram stories now. We're doing Snapchat stories now. I've been doing more of those too lately. So try to do that every day, or been doing it every day. So look out for that. If you guys aren't following us on any of those, check out the show notes. All the links are there. If you're wanting to, you know, help the podcast, and Patreon is not something you want to do, because I've heard from a couple of you guys, you're like, I want to support you, Car, but not on Patreon. And that's totally cool. There's some Litecoin, you know, addresses down there, or there's some Bitcoin addresses, or Cardano addresses, or I think we have Bitcoin Cash too as well addresses. Oh, and Ether addresses. Like, if you guys want to drop me some coin, that's awesome too. But honestly, what I would really prefer is if you guys would go to iTunes or Google Play and leave a review, leave a 5-star review, and share this podcast, share it with a friend. Like, I feel like that's the easiest thing for you guys to do that want to support me, that, you know, maybe not don't want to do it monetary wise. Is that the way you say it? Anyway, money wise, but you want to still support me. And that's honestly the best way, is just sharing this podcast to your social media accounts, or, you know, hashtagging Thriller Podcasts, you know, or spray painting a building by Bitcoin Save the Fucking World. That's another thing that you could do. It's funny too, because like, I was like seriously like thinking like, fuck, where can I go in Austin? Because Austin has a like pretty good graffiti community. And I was thinking, where can I go in Austin and like graffiti by Bitcoin Save the Fucking World somewhere? So I was like really like thinking about it. I was like, how much fucking spray paint would I need to go do that? But I've been trying to do lately is like use that as a meme. And it's funny, like you'd see like people's reactions on Instagram. They're always like laughing, or they're always like, you know, fire or whatever. And I'm just like, man, buy Bitcoin, save the fucking world. It's a catchy fucking thing to say, you know, but it's funny. Anyways, you guys should check me out on all those social media accounts if you want to follow. If you guys want to support the show, hit that 5-star button in your podcast app and leave a review. That's probably the best way, because it'll get us up there in the charts, and then we can destroy bad crypto podcasts once and for all. Just kidding. I don't know those guys, so I probably wouldn't be on their podcast even if they asked me to. I've heard some bad stuff about them. I don't know if it's true. It's just what I heard back from my peeps telling me about that, what they're doing, the shenanigans they're doing. No, but wish them all the best. As long as they're spreading knowledge out there to everybody, then that's all I care about. But if they're spreading FUD, then better be afraid from the Thriller Army.
The Thriller Army.
Anyway. Let's get into our disclaimer.
Remember, Thriller Podcast does not give financial advice. He cannot tell the future. Even if he thinks he can, he is just some dude trying to save the world one Satoshi at a time.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are over 9K with Bitcoin. Cha-ching. I'm just saying, like, I knew this was going to happen. I knew we were going to go back up. It's a momentary dip. It's nothing to be afraid of. Ethereum, if you bought at 700, you're looking like a winner today because now it's at 900, up 12%. Ripple, you had me scared for a second, Ripple. But now you're over a dollar. You're at $1.05, up 34%. It looks like it's pumping, guys. Ripple's pumping big time. And you know what's funny? Every time I see Ripple go on a run like this, I immediately think, oh, we're getting close to Coinbase. You know why? Because, I don't know, it's like one of those things, like Bitcoin Cash taught me that whenever you start seeing a run-up happen, something's happening with that crypto. And especially if there's no news out for it. Because like Bitcoin Cash, we saw that, you know, the flippening when that happened, you know, It was huge. It was big. It was big news. People started dumping Bitcoin and then everybody started flipping over to Bitcoin Cash and there was that. And then Bitcoin Cash had that huge drop. That's why you never panic when stuff like that happens. You just wait and see. And it was funny because when Bitcoin Cash had another run up here just before the Coinbase release, it was running up. And every time on the podcast, we were like saying, that's funny. Bitcoin Cash keeps going up. And sure enough, the next day we would go on the podcast and we would say Bitcoin Cash keeps going up. And then eventually it got to a point where we're like, why the fuck is Bitcoin Cash keep going up? And it was because there was insider trading and people knew that Bitcoin Cash was going to show up on Coinbase. And it shot to the moon when it got on there. Remember that shit? It was awesome. It was awesome. But I will say it's funny because when I see coins like that happen again, especially coins that that have been talked about showing up on Coinbase, like Ripple. Bitcoin Cash is one of those that we knew was going to show up on Coinbase by the end of the year. We predicted it on this podcast like a month before it happened. I remember literally saying that, I remember literally saying like something to the likes of, well, they promised us Bitcoin Cash. They promised that and that they haven't gave it to us. I think I had gotten upset because they haven't given us our Bitcoin Cash yet. Well, it turns out that they end up doing it. And I believe I said in the podcast that we're going to get another coin on Coinbase before the end of the year. And it ended up happening. It ended up being Bitcoin Cash. And it fit perfectly. And when I see Ripple running up like this, I'm seeing at 34% right now, up 34%. You know, of course, it was at 72 cents. And yes, we did go through those two dips. But still, when it starts pumping up like this, that tells me one of two things. Something happened or something's going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. And I like to think the latter because if it's at a dollar right now, this is how I forecast Ripple. I forecast Ripple. I'm going to tell you the honest truth. This is my honest truth of how I forecast Ripple. This is where I see it going. This is Carr going into the future.
Happy to send you back to the future.
Yeah. Oh, I know you did send me back to the future, but I'm back. I'm back from the future.
Okay, guys, so I'm future telling right now. This is what I see happening. I see Ripple getting to $3 here. We just saw that we can go to $3. We saw that we can. So to me, I've been in this crypto game in a long time. If it hits a mark, it's going to hit that mark again, and it's going to go just above it. So what I think is going to happen is I think we're going to get to Ripple. It's going to get to $3 here very soon. And I think once it gets on Coinbase, it can get around 10 bucks. I'm not sure how high that ceiling goes. $10. This is my future telling. I think it gets to $10. I think if it stays on Coinbase for the rest of the year and then makes an end of year show up on Robinhood, which people are forecasting to show up on Robinhood as well, that would put it in two places that a lot of people hold: Robinhood and Coinbase. At that point, Ripple is going to be worth between $10 to $15 per coin. I know it sounds ridiculous right now. I know it does. But trust me. Trust me. I remember when fucking Ripple was worth two fucking pennies. Trust me. I know this coin. I know this coin. Okay? So, when XRP gets on Coinbase, it's going to hit $10 like that. It's not going to even blink. It's going to hit $10. When it gets on Robinhood, it could shoot up to 20 or 15. I honestly think at the end of the year, this is going to sound fucking nuts, but I honestly think Ripple is going to be worth $25, $30 a coin. I really believe it. And that's me future telling, though. There's no proof of this. There's nothing I can show you that would prove this. This is just me future telling. This is just me looking at that coin and seeing what I've known to happen with cryptocurrencies. And Ripple is one. Best case scenario, $20 by the end of the year. Worst case scenario, $5. $5. Worst case scenario. It's literally a dollar right now. I don't know, guys. It's one of those things where I really want to get out of Ripple as soon as I can, but I do want to make the most amount of money that I can because I have a shit ton of Ripple. And fuck, man, I really want to get rid of it when it gets to $5. I really do. But something's telling me wait until it shows up on Robinhood, because and then it could pump even more. Another thing about Ripple is it's a really safe coin to the mainstream people. You know, it has a lot going for it in that capacity. I think it's a shit coin, personally. But a lot of people that are new to crypto see Ripple as a safe bet. Honestly, yeah, I'm going to sell. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell you guys when I do, though. I will tell you. I promise you. I will tell you when I do sell any of my Ripple. Right now, though, I'm really debating when it gets to $3 here pretty soon if I'm going to break off a piece of that chunk. But I think I'm going to end up waiting. I think I'm going to end up waiting till it shows up on Coinbase. But when it does, definitely when it shows up on Coinbase, I think it could surge to $10 easily. We'll see, though. We'll see. It could do the complete opposite. It could flop. It could hit Coinbase and no one buy it. But something tells me that's not going to happen. Anyways, that's me future telling. Let's go ahead and get into the rest of it. So we got Cardano at 28%, up 45 cents. We had Matthew in the Telegram. He was talking about Cardano being oversold. Or what is, hang on, let me get his exact words. Yeah, he said right here, RSI is suggesting it's overbought. And yeah, I can see the Bollinger Band, and it looks like it's over that mark. Yeah, but like I said, you know, Cardano is still a solid coin. I still see it peaking this year. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just bullish on it. I think it's going to make some serious cash this year. I don't know how much more exactly, but holding Cardano long term is just a smart play. Yeah, just do it. Litecoin at 166. We have Stellar at 44 cents. I'm still bullish on Stellar. A lot of us are bullish on Stellar. We got NEO at 120. That looks good. We got EOS at $10. So EOS went up $2. You know, and we know where EOS is going to be at, right around 12 here pretty soon. We got IOTA at $2. So IOTA is even pumping. We got NEM at 62 cents. You know, if you guys are looking into NEM, this one, I feel like it could get to a dollar here pretty soon, but I don't know. It's up 16%. I'm just, yeah, I don't know. Dash, we got 663, up 12%. We got Monero at 266. We got Tron up 53% at 5 cents. So Tron looks like it's making a run. Yeah, hopefully I can sell Tron here at 50 cents pretty soon. I want to get off this Tron train, I'm just telling you. Tron is, I don't know. Yeah, it's 50-50. I really feel that way. Lisk, $29. Nice. You got Bitcoin Gold even going back up to 163, up 50%. Yeah, Bitcoin Gold was at what was it yesterday? 110 or something. Got Ethereum Classic, $26. We know where that's going, $29. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much everything that if you listen to yesterday's podcast, it pretty much said everything was going back to normal. And it looks like it, guys. Everything's literally going back to the way it was. Bitcoin's even making its way back to 0.7 cents. It's currently at 5. It'll get there. Status is even making moves now after my threat yesterday. Even Verge looks good right now at 6 cents. We got Siacoin at 2 cents. Siacoin's I'm hoping it's going to pay off here. We'll see, guys. We got Stratus at 8.51. We got Waves, $6.16. Nice. Got Dogecoin at 0.5 cents. We got R-Chain. Nice. So I know a lot of us are holding R-Chain. It's $1.49 right now, 12%. We got Electronium, 7 cents. Nice. Dentacoin, 0.1 cents. It's getting there. We got Dragon Chain at $1.68. That's still a good buy right there. We got BAT at 39 cents. We got, let's see what else we have here. Golem at 36 cents. Yeah. Got Dent at 2 cents. It's another good buy, I think. We got Funfair. So, yeah, we were talking about this in Telegram yesterday. I forgot to mention it on the show, but Funfair is getting delisted from Bittrex. Fuck, that sucks because I really think Funfair would have made a nice little run, but now it's off of Bittrex, that changes fucking everything. Like, when you get yourself off of an exchange, that's not good. But it was reported yesterday that's what was going to happen. But, man, I don't know. I don't know now. But, man, I still love Funfair. I still think it's a solid project. We got Salt. Because, I mean, it's all the way down at the bottom. 78, number 78 on the CoinMarketCap. But I still think that's a solid project that we looked at. Salt at $4.79. Got KenCoin. Stay away from KenCoin. We got Redcoin, 0.7 cents. So Redcoin's making it way back up to a penny. Ugh, I would stay away from that. Just saying. Just saying, guys. I know a lot of you love Redcoin, but fuck. I don't know, man. That's a scary coin. We got Substratum at 79 cents. That's our 100th coin. Pretty much, it's all looking good, guys. I can't wait to see what it looks like on Monday. I hope it doesn't dip too much. It'll probably go back to reality, but... If you guys bought earlier this week and you plan on selling on Sunday, you made some money. You've at least made 50% back, I think. So, yeah, I'm bullish on everything. Everything looks good. And I think that's all we got for Coin Talk. So I do want to leave you guys with something. And it's important to remember when prices are going this high and everybody starts buying in because they start getting FOMO, do realize that make sure you're doing your homework. Make sure that you're listening to this podcast. You're listening to other people on YouTube. You're getting it all. Like, you're doing your thorough research before you jump on a coin. This is starting to turn into FOMO again. And it's good. It's good for us, the people that have been there hodling this whole time. It's good for us. But at the same time, it's bad if you're looking at some new coin that's just popped open, you know, and you don't want to jump on it just because it's this hot new thing. Throw it in our Telegram. Let me know what coin you're looking at that you want me to check. I'll check it for you. That way you have another opinion. Like, use me as a resource is all I'm saying. And use each other as resources too as well. But primarily what you want to do is get everybody's information on it. I wouldn't rely too much on the Reddit pages for a lot of these coins unless you're already invested in it. If you're trying to, you know, get more information regarding the crypto that you're investing in, Reddit's probably not the best place. I would go to their website, check out the interviews they have with the developers, because it's really easy to manipulate data on Reddit. I'm just saying it because it's the truth. Because a lot of people feed their own hype on their subreddits. I'm guilty of it. That's all I do here on this podcast is feed my own hype. I feed the beast is what it's called. You try to feed your own hunger to reimagine a better you in the future with the holdings that you have. So I'm very bullish, man. I'm very bullish on this cryptocurrency market this year. We're gonna reach $1 trillion fucking dollars this year. Guarantee that shit. You can put that shit on the paper.
This is the end of the show. You have been listening to Thriller Coin Talk with Car Gonzalez. Remember, Thriller Coin Talk is not financial advice. Everything Carr said likely won't come true. It is up to you. Now go do your own research. Listen to other dudes that start their name with crypto and not car. And remember, buy Bitcoin and save the world. One Satoshi at a time.